Call the order. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Fantastic. So this is the time for public comment. If there's anybody in the room or on the line that would like to make any public comment with regards to anything that is not agendized with reference to water, wastewater, this would be the time for you to speak, and I'll give you 10 seconds.
There is no one on the line.
Okay, and then I will close public comment. Okay. Hello, Gregory. How you doing?
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second. All those in favor? Aye. No presentations to speak of. Is Mike Uraka on the line?
He is.
Hello, Michael.
Mike, you can unmute yourself.
You with us? Mike, unmute yourself. Is Jason showing up here today?
He is not.
Mike Uraka.
Hi, Mike. You're on speaker. We're going to do it this way. So I have two board members.
Yeah. So don't mess with the computer anymore because we'll get echoes and stuff. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Okay. I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're doing well. So Ashley and I are here, and we've got Gregory Harris and Aaron in the audience with Julie and Dina and Anthony here. So you're going to give us an update on the CEQA Well 8.
Yes. So as we were going through the CEQA process and we were doing the mitigated negative declaration, we were reviewing the first draft of the document, and we had indicated that we being staff indicated to the consultant that in the event the Pantages project did not go through, that the town would do the grading on the site for the well location to raise the grade about 10 feet to bring it to the proper elevation. And once they saw that comment, they indicated that that was not a consideration for the document, and that it would be a much more complicated document. And so they said in order to simplify things and keep the project in budget, that they would just do an amendment to the existing Pantages EIR. And that's the only document we would need to process through the town, would be the amendment to the EIR, not a mitigated negative declaration as we had initially thought. We ran this by District Council Rod Atterbury, and he concurred that that's fine for us to do. We confirmed again with the consultant just recently that there would be no increase to their budget for the project, and they concurred. They just give some caveats that there's not enough budget for additional rounds of review or major revisions or meeting attendance, which is fine, just to basically get the project done. So we're bringing this to your attention to get the board's or your concurrence with staff's recommendation and legal counsel recommendation or approval to do an amendment to the EIR rather than proceeding with the mitigated negative declaration.
Well, from what I understand you saying, there would be absolutely no reason why we'd not want to do that, because this is saving everybody money, time, and energy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Ashley, do you have anything?
Nope.
Then I think that we're probably in concurrence in saying that let's move forward with the easier and better solution.
Okay, great. Dina, do you need me for the rest of the meeting, or is that it?
I do not. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you. Are we going to see Mike at the board meeting or no? Nothing on. Yeah, okay. No, we only have a couple things on that. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Have a good day. Hey, we'll see you on next Monday at whatever, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So let's move up to. Well, that was kind of relatively good news. It just simplifies things a bit and saves everybody a little bit of money, right? It's not often that the bureaucracy comes forward and say, here, let me make it simpler for you. That doesn't usually happen. Okay, so let's move to item F, discussion items. Gregory, that first item is yours, and that is a change order to BSK Geotech with regards to denitrification.
Hey, guys. So BSK is the geotechnical engineer on the denitrification project. And we've approved, the town has contracted with them directly before for this project, for design and then for construction services once construction began. And the responsibilities of the geotechnical engineer are to verify that the soil subgrade and soil conditions are suitable to build on long term. So we're not going to have, you know, sinking buildings or an earthquake that shakes the building and has it settle, or our asphalt's going to break or things like that. So in addition to that, they test the soil compaction to make sure it's compacted properly and placed properly by the contractor. And they test the concrete. When we pour concrete samples, they pull concrete samples and they break that concrete cylinder to verify for the town that the work being performed by the contractor is in conformance with the contract in terms of earthwork and quality of concrete. When we first got a proposal for BSK at the beginning of the project, once construction started, they had requested and estimated that their effort would be around $200,000. At the time, we thought that may be excessive. Let's see what happens. And we recommended a contract of around $98,000. And we had reduced their budget that they had requested. So we've gone to $90,000. The aerobic digester happened along the way, and so we've had a small change order to them to do geotechnical investigation of the aerobic digester and get recommendations for that. And now we're halfway done. So we're literally halfway through the project for D9. And they've used up their budget, their initial budget, for geotechnical services. We've gone over remaining work with them, how much earthwork is left, how much concrete work is left, and we've set a new budget of $75,000 for them. And so we're seeking input on approving an extension of $75,000 to their base contract. And that's what we're
doing. You have any questions, Ashley?
I guess how confident are we that they're not going to continue to add up to that $200,000? Because we're like right within that $25,000.
So technically, we control all of their efforts. When you say not going to add up to $75,000, you know, we call them out to inspect. We call them out to look at the earthwork, pull cylinders, stuff like that. And so, you know, we can get to the end and say, okay, we don't need the inspection if we want to save $50. But the reality is, it's in our best interest to document the quality of the work that went in all along the way. At the moment, what we're asking on the board agenda item is to approve the $75,000 and to approve Dina to go 10% over the new contract amount, which would be the existing contract amount, which would be another $9,000. So it gives us a little more cushion. But we technically already used that 10% approval once when we did the aerobic digester for Dina. And this is more than 10% of the value of the contract, so we're bringing it back to the board. And, you know, other than we sat down with them and we said, okay, what do we got left? We worked on it for a couple months, went back and forth. This is where we've landed. And then we're saying, allow Dina a little 10% extra to pick up if there's a few things right at the end of the job that we need to pick up.
And we are also definitely on the downhill side of how much we will need them for, based on the fact that we're already into the into the third of all three D-night work. So most of the soil work, we're closing down on the soil work, in other words.
We're half done with the entire project, but we're, you know, two-thirds done with the dirt
work. With the dirt work.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have that much more. So, well, so just so I'm clear, because that's, I did not realize. So this is, there's an automatic 10% contingency built into that $75,000 recommendation.
So
is that what you're telling
me? The original contract amount awarded $90,000 and allowed Dina 10% contingency. We burned that on the aerobic digester.
The aerobic digester is the pond that we had the issue with in the banks and all that, correct?
The water was taking out the bank.
Right, okay.
Okay. And so we have an authorization for $75,000 here for a contract amendment. And on the board request, we're again out asking the board to authorize Dina the 10% of the original contract value. So that if we get to the end of this, we need $2,000 more or something, we don't have to come back to the board.
So that $75,000 doesn't include the 10%. It's 75 plus an additional 10%.
Yes.
So let me just check one thing real quick here before we, unless you have more questions. So is this on the board? This is item two tonight, right?
Yes.
So it's F2. I'm sorry. Okay, fine. As long as it's described in the report for the board to see tonight, that 10%,
yes,
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Is it 10% of the 75 or 10% of the 175,841?
10% of 75.
I don't have that report.
10% of the 75.
It says 75.
10% of the 75.
Dave's called me and asked me which contract amount did it apply to. Mm-hmm. And I think we clarified it, so it should be the last sentence in terms of recommended actions, mm-hmm, on the board item.
Oh, wait. Actually, it says 10% of the original contract value.
Yeah, so the original contract value is $90,000. So that would authorize Dean up to $9,000 to after the 75. For some reason, 75 doesn't cut it, like you asked. Mm-hmm. What happens if that doesn't quite pay? You're authorizing Dean up.
Was there a contingency built into the 90 prior to this request?
No. Well, I'm sorry.
Yes, we used it on the digester.
The original contract was awarded 90 and gave Dina 10%.
So
we used that
10%
on the digester already. Mm-hmm. So it's not fair to say she's got another 10%. So we're just kind of coming back clean and saying, okay, we spent the original 90.
Yeah, okay.
The 10%.
Tomato, tomato. Okay, whatever.
And then I need another 10%.
And I need another 10%.
Okay.
So really it's like 85.
85.
Yeah, okay. As long as we understand it, because that question might be asked.
It's going to be asked.
Okay, anything else, Ash?
No, I just wanted to clarify that.
So it's a recommendation of this board. We'll be in favor of recommending staff. We'll be in favor of supporting staff's recommendation at the board meeting this evening. That's what we're looking for.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Number two. It's you again, buddy. Oh, good old Pub State and W.
Yeah.
So now you know what I'm talking about, Anthony? That's what I was asking you about the other day. Go ahead. You're
okay.
On, bud.
So, conversation done.
The good news is Ashley and I have great visuals on this because we spent about an hour and a half out there looking at the hole in the ground.
We all agree there's a hole in the ground, right?
Yes.
Okay. That makes this picture a lot better than it is.
We can't leave it like that, right?
What are you looking at? This?
So now the question is...
This right here.
Oh, in the... Go ahead, Greg. We're listening.
I got a picture in the staff report. Also, if you guys want to turn that page.
What are you...
So attached to the staff report is a memo.
Go in here.
And oh, it's in here. I'm sorry. I got you. I'm there. Okay, right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Greg.
All right, so let's just go ahead and turn to the first page of the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a picture of what's there now, right? So, pump station W is the original inflow pump station for the town of Discovery Bay. It's been there since the late 50s, or early 70s, right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's been there since, it's 50 years old. Mm-hmm. It's been there since the 70s, okay? Back in 2002, the town built a new insulin pump station. But at that time, we were carrying two treatment plants, and it was rather complex insulin pump station, splitting flow between two different plants. And the way it was designed, the plan was pump station W could service as a backup, so insulin pump station. And what's important about that is the pump stations are complex. To take them out of service, you need to bypass flow. Well, the town can't turn flow off. Flow comes every minute of the day. And so pump station W's purpose was to back up inflow pump station. Didn't run all the time. But as the inflow pump station needed repairs, like recoding or new pipe fix, or a pump's broken, you can't get it out. The plan was you could divert to pump station W, fix the inflow pump station, go back. Somewhere along the way, there was a gate that isolates inflow pump station W pump station. That gate was made out of stainless steel. And the H2S in the manhole 1 was so high that it rotted the stainless steel slightly. And water started getting in pump station, not once in a while, but in the pump station W all the time. And initially they were just pumping it out, letting it go, but the effect of that was the pump station W was not hardened as much as the inflow pump station against corrosion. And when we came back to do some work, we noticed two things were going on. We actually needed to do work in pump station W and pump station, inflow pump station, for the denitrification project, because we had failures of piping systems in both pump stations. So the original plan was, let's take pump station W, fix the pipes of pump station W first, put it in service, and then let's fix the inflow pump station. Kind of get it back to where we're going. When we got into the inflow pump station W, we found that the corrosion was so bad that it had destroyed the rebar that holds the pump station together. And a structural engineer was required to condemn the pump station. So it wasn't safe to enter. So why is there a hole? Well, we had to do something. So what we did is we took all the dirt off the top of the pump station. And what you're seeing there is a very short, and actually it's brown because there's a little bit of dirt on top of it, but you're seeing the subterranean roof of the inflow pump station. This is 10 feet down below grade in this photo. And we took the dirt off the top of it so it wouldn't collapse. And then we had to put it online, so we put some temporary pumps in there to keep it working so we could do the repairs to the inflow pump station. The inflow pump station is now repaired. All in operation, everything's good. But we had this big hole here, and we have to decide what we want to do with it. So we wrote a memo explaining options of things that we can do here and what they might cost. And I'm gonna go through that memo with you, but the long and short of it is we're kind of seeking direction for what are you guys in the mood for? You know, what kind of fix are we looking for? How permanent do we want that fix to be? And then how do we want to contractually go about generating that repair? So in our memo, we present four options. Option one is we got a big giant contractor on site now, cut him a change order and rebuild the pump. We would reuse the pumps, reuse as much of the piping as we can. We reuse all the controls that are still there. And we would rebuild the structure. It's kind of tricky because we got to go down another 12 feet from where we're at now. It's 12 feet deeper to the bottom. Got to demo off the concrete. But we're going to have to do some shoring because it's so deep relative to some of the other structures around it. We're going to have to shore around it, dig a hole, and go down and get it. So it's going to be pricey. But then it's very straightforward what we're doing. We're going to build a concrete structure. We'll design a concrete structure. We'll go ahead and line the structure so it's industrial strength against hydrogen sulfide attack. And you'll have a backup pump station to the inflow pump station at the end of that. So the option one is, do you want Anderson to do it? There's some advantages and some disadvantages to that. The advantage is you can go faster because we can tell them to work with limited engineering. We can do some basic engineering, say do it this way, and just sort of direct their work, and they can go along and perform it. The disadvantage of it is it's hard to get a price up ahead of time. Or if they give us a price ahead of time, because of the complexities of the job and how you estimate engineering, you could feel like maybe you're not getting a fair price. So we can do a T&M, time and materials. They're happy to work that way. Or we can get a price from them. But it isn't, you're not always assured with a large contract or change order if you think you're getting fair prices out of contract. So option two is rebuild it just kind of like we described, but we make it a separate project. We put plans and specs together, we go out to bid on it, and we go out and get a contractor to give us a price, and we treat it as a separate project. Now, Anderson is on site now, and they may bid this, but the time for us that it takes to put a job on the street, this project is winding down. There's only 12 months left in the project that we have right now on site. So this project, while expensive on the town side, is a relatively small project in terms of contractors. It's not 100% clear to me Anderson will stick around to work on it, because it's what's called a pain in the butt contract. It's a lot of shoring, a lot of messing around. And at the end of the day, you get poor structure, but there's a lot of just overhead work in terms of making this pull off right. But if you wanted to be most assured of your bidding and getting the quote lowest cost, then bidding the project is the way to go. Now, in talking with Anthony and reviewing their needs, we also discussed if we're going to build something from scratch, will we build the same thing again, or will we do something different? And so there's two more options that are here. And in terms of Pump Station W, there's not a lot different that Anthony would do. However, what he did mention is if we could get a screen at the influent pump station to help cut down on the rags going into the influent pumps, that would be a big help on wear and tear on the influent pumps. We do get a lot of wear and tear on the pumps for two reasons, rags and for grit that gets in that pump station. The pump station is very deep, and it's very hard for Veolia practically pull rags out of that influent pump station. They tend to pile up and they float, and they just stack up in there. And so when you go do maintenance, you have all these rags and all these things that are in there that make it difficult to work. The piping failure is interesting enough. We had the gaskets pull apart, and it's actually rags that squirted out into those gaskets and wedged that up more. So if you look at the photos from it previously, there's all these rags coming through the cracks and hanging out, So for people that aren't familiar, in wastewater, we get rags. We call them rags. It's a generic term for anything that comes down that's fibrous in nature. So it's baby wipes, it's hand towels, it's all kinds of things people throw down and get in the sewer somewhere. And the other request that Anthony had, actually, here he is, was a jib crane. And so we've thrown on a jib crane here. We've got a little sketch on page 2 of the memo that kind of shows you how we can do it. So once again, there's sort of two flavors around this. Now, what's important about this is, for financing reasons, if there's a cash crunch, building pump station only W now, just doing that first step, doesn't preclude the second step. If we know the second step is coming, we'll lay out some piping a little different. We'll do a couple of piping things to ensure that the second phase, if we do this. But we're not required to do all of it in one step, even if we do desire later on to add a bar screen or add a different.
But based on the fact that, and we've experienced this with the change in the economy and all the other issues that are occurring in construction today, and that's even a smaller project then if we go in and do it in two phases.
Yeah, the hardest projects that we have in discovery, the most expensive ones in wastewater are smaller projects.
Right.
The overhead and risk to contractors is high.
So let me clarify a couple of things here, yes. Gregory, before we go much further into this. So when I look at your four options,
yeah.
apples to apples is table one and table three and table two and table four. Is that correct? They're just done at different times? That's a timing difference between those two. Is that correct? There's not really much difference in the work.
Table one and table two are the apples to apples, but they're done at, if you break it out and make it a whole separate project and bid it and do it that way. So one and two are that way. Let me just make sure.
It kind of looks to me like one and...
I'm sorry. Yes.
One right. And three and two and four. And two and four. The estimated cost to think long term, and in that, why are we going to spend all this money to rebuild something where we're going to have a flaw that's going to bring rags, to use your term? That cost is $500,000, whether you do it in as a separate project or you do it as adding it to a change order.
Yes.
So that cost doesn't change very much. That's just a matter of us evaluating as a committee whether we feel it's worth $500,000 to put in to remedy a problem that's been a big problem that probably helped cause the problem that we have today.
Yeah, if you want to compare, yes, if you're comparing
am I saying this right?
Yeah,
I'm like, I just need it more simple.
Go ahead.
So
typically, whatever questions you ask are the questions I was going to ask anyway.
Like,
so go ahead.
I think
whatever,
for me,
you ask whatever you want.
I just want to understand which one is going to set us up the best for the future, where even though it may be a little bit more expensive, it allows us to build out 5 years or 10 years. It's not just a Band-Aid for right now.
Okay.
Like simplistic, like, one does that, three does that, two doesn't do that, four doesn't do that.
It's slightly more complex. That's why we have a committee. We just ask questions. Okay. Right now, the biggest difference is, do we want to add a screen or we don't? Okay.
And the screen is preventative?
Yeah, the screen is preventative. So we're putting in brand new screens at Plant 2 right now.
Okay.
Because if you don't have a screen, you'll destroy the whole tree. Okay.
And all of this right now, so anything that's going to W is currently also going to Plant 2, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So if we add that screen to W, that's also... I'm sorry?
Influent
pump station. Influent
pump
station.
Yeah.
Plant 1.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, everything's so close together that the construction would be right adjacent to each other, essentially, in terms of house stone. Pump station W, so there's two elements, and what I want to make clear to you is we have to fix pump station W. But 10 feet away from pump station W, we could also install a screen.
But wait a minute. Installing the screen is going to affect everything that goes to the affluent pump station as well as the backup of lift station W. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, it will only affect the
It'll only affect the affluent pump station.
Yeah,
but lift station W was only there for a backup for maintenance and work that we have to do upon the affluent pump. So if for that 3 months that we have to close down the affluent pump station, we're not too worried about those rags. We're just worried about consistently. Okay, that makes more sense to me. I get it now. Two different projects. Rebuilding W, but as part of that project, adding screens to the affluent pump station. Okay, I didn't have that clear in my head.
Thank you. That helps me. I don't know if I can ask this question, so I'm going to ask it. If I can't, just tell me no. Like, you're the guy, Aaron and Anthony, you're the ones that are doing this day to day. So when you're looking at these options, what fulfills how you need that to function?
You can ask that question. That's a great question.
Can I ask that question?
I mean, you're asking for their opinion.
Because here, I want to make sure that if we're making a decision that that affects your operation, that it's something that makes sense, and we're not like having to go replace valves because we chose pneumatic valves instead of electric valves, right?
Okay. Operationally, option three, replacing the W, so you got a backup to your main and pump station, and installing a bar screen is by far. That is additional help in the future, too. This is exactly what Greg just laid out. Is that is not only just repairing W in its like and kind condition, setting it up for the same failure that's going to happen again.
Okay.
It's also adding to the main plant, which is capable of holding 5 pumps that have no water stream protection at all. And what doesn't get stopped there goes directly to the plant, which we're hoping the new water streams there will get. So that is operational option 3 is our best way.
So option 4 is like platinum. We don't necessarily need platinum.
The drain can be mitigated other ways. We're thinking of mobile crane. We're thinking of other options instead of stationary crane. But that station has our biggest and most valuable pumps there. So
are we using a mobile crane now?
Option 3 doesn't include the screen.
And we've option 2 does.
So here's another question. So would it be more beneficial to do option 3 and then maybe have a separate request for some mobile cranes that can actually do that? Because not right. only can we use it at station W, but if we exactly. needed to, we could use them exactly. at other stations.
Exactly.
So then that would be setting us up for success if something else goes
exactly.
awry, correct?
So you look at option 4 doesn't include a crane.
It doesn't include a mobile crane. It includes a permanent crane.
It would have been a jib crane, permanent, forward, and one pump station all.
So okay. it's more beneficial for you to have a mobile crane that can pump a little bit more. You're currently running one. What would the cost of a mobile crane be to handle that?
That depends. We're still thinking of that. We're not thinking we need a new fancy brand new crane truck if we can find a good used one. We just need one larger, but we've got to be careful not going too big. The ones we're renting is too big to access our lift stations at some
okay.
point. And that's the problem. If we go big enough to handle the pumps at this one pump station, sometimes we're too big to handle our littlest lift stations out in the field.
So
just because of area and setup and all that.
Exactly. So we got to be, a truck is capable of getting there. The problem is the crane's reach is the problem.
It's not.
Yeah.
So in an ideal world, you would do operationally 3. And then maybe come back to us with a recommendation for either renting or purchasing a crane that not only can help alleviate what we need to do here at Station W, but can also be used for alternative uses.
Right.
And so in turn, if something else were to break, we have that available to us and we're not wasting money renting,
exactly.
which we're currently doing. Not that we're wasting money, but
no,
we're renting, and this would alleviate a lot of other problems.
All right, so I'm gonna clarify.
Does that help?
No, it didn't help at all because I'm totally confused now.
All right, hold on.
Because option 3 does not have a friggin' crane,
it
does not have a screen in it. I thought you wanted a screen.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, go ahead, Gregory. One sec. Gregory, go ahead, Clint.
So option 1 is rebuild just the pump station as a change order to the contract. And if you look on page 5 of the memo, okay, this is what it includes. Change order to the existing contract, backup structure. You see, you should see table 1, right, on the memo?
Right.
Table 1. Everybody on table 1, so we just get these straight in our head. Backfill the existing structure. Demo the old structure. Construct a new pump station in the same place. Reuse existing pump piping and controls. As a change order to the existing contract. That's $1.2 million.
Okay.
Okay, so what that is the bare minimum you can do. But, hey guys, which one here is that way? Also. But it's the bare minimum you can do. But we do have a lot of maintenance now on the input. Option 2 is, again, change order to the same contract, but we go ahead and we add a screen on table 2. We add a screen, and we added the jib crane.
As a permanent jib crane.
As a permanent jib crane. Now, I have to agree, I'd rather take that $100,000 and buy a portable crane than a permanent jib crane. For 2 reasons. 1, it's more useful at other places, but 2, the jib crane is going to be very difficult to install there. It's a very heavy device. I got to really build a structure to hold that crane.
Okay.
So it's a lot of money.
Yeah, but
so the key difference here is do we want to proceed under a change order to the general contractor or just go out and bid this as separate?
Right.
Okay. So okay. I would say the JIP crane, as you look at it as a line item, is we either build a permanent JIP crane or buy a truck, but it's going to cost $100,000.
Okay.
Think of it as that. Whether we buy a truck, when we build a crane, we think we would budget $100,000. The crane truck you got now, I think Virgil spent $50,000 about. And granted, we got some inflation.
Okay, but it's not capable of this kind of activity.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you can only install 3 of the 5 pumps.
Hold on a second. Go to your diagram. Go to your diagram that you drew up.
On page
2. On page F21, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is now a dual chamber hole when it was a single chamber before.
No, on the left side it's all single chamber. You want to say dual.
Where this is this just lift station W, or does this also include the effluent pump station?
This is a picture of the effluent pump station.
This is only a picture of the effluent
pump station. Pump station W, you have a photo of it. It's just
okay.
A circle, right? Pump station W is in the photo. That's just a circle in the ground.
Okay, so we're solving several problems at once here.
Right.
Because the crane is, how do we get the pumps lift those pumps out of the effluent pump station right now?
Okay, so right now we use our crane truck for 3 of them, and they have to rent a bigger crane to get the other ones.
How often do we pull those up?
They're supposed to be pulled up once a year and inspected as a minimum once a year and cleaned up. And then if they have damage, they're sent off for repair.
What do we pay to rent a truck?
So a rental truck is $2,000 to $3,000 each time. Sure, they usually have a coordinator.
But we could use it pull rotors, ox stitch motors, various other lift station pumps.
How old is the truck we have currently?
It's 08.
So you're going to be out of CARB compliance here pretty quick.
It is a new truck.
Is it registered for the street?
Yeah, it's just not a heavy duty truck.
It's not heavy duty. Okay.
So the existing truck works fine for the smaller equipment around town. It doesn't have the reach we need for some of the facilities at the wastewater treatment plant and at the pump station. It doesn't have the lift capability we need for those. So they're either renting a bigger truck.
So for clarification, though. Is there a truck that can be made available to us that would do everything we needed to do? It's not too big to get to the small jobs, but it's big enough to handle the big jobs. Is that truck available or designable or purchasable? Okay, because I don't want to get confused here. So that truck
does exist.
That piece of equipment exists.
Yes.
Yeah, Anderson driving around the product sector.
And do we buy it as a new piece of equipment or a used piece of equipment?
Used.
And so price range is?
You're looking right at about $1,000.
Okay. So it's a direct offset to a permanent jib.
Correct.
Okay. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay, done.
That's a good point.
So we agree that
okay.
A mobile one is better.
I don't understand why you guys keep saying option 3. Anthony, I don't understand why you want option 3 when there's no bar screen in there.
Yeah.
Option two, with a portable, as per Ashley's point, if you two get together, we got a plan. We go with option 2, but we don't go with the permanent jib. We go with the new piece of equipment that's going to be able to be used for a lot of different projects, replacing the piece of equipment we have that probably has got a very limited lifespan left in it, which is the 2008 lift truck. I mean, it can be parked and used where needed, but probably. Are we talking the same thing now?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Okay. So.
How do you feel about that?
Okay, I just want to clarify about option 2 and 4.
Okay.
The big difference is option 2, the way we priced it out, is we're doing a change order.
I'm with you.
To the existing contract that is now valued at $1.9 million to help the change order. there's advantages. We don't have to backfill the pump station. We can leave it here and just start. You know, there's some savings to that. But under our purchasing policy, I think there may be a stop review for a second, like to really cut a $1.9 million change order on this project. It may be fine because you save some money ultimately, but I think we have to stop and discuss that.
We can do it.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you in a second. $1.9 million, and it's a change order to the D-Night project.
Yes.
And can we do that?
I don't know if we can do that. I need to check with legal because we were not able to do that with the pool.
I'm sorry?
We were not able to do that with the pool. Remember, we tried to do a change order for about $500,000.
But that was substantially changing the design and yes. everything else from a rehab.
Okay.
From a rehab. This is the way I would present this, or have, you know, hopefully Greg could present this in the same way, is this is just another procedure that came about, fortunately for us, at the right time.
Correct.
When, in order to make everything function that we're paying to have done, we got to fix this over here.
Yeah.
We can't operate without that backup system in place. So it's not really it's not a completely new project. It's part of the system.
So the difference between
is that sellable?
Well, I'll check with legal.
So 2 and 4 is a change order. 4 is if we were to go out to bid. That's what the cost would be.
So what 4 assumes is I got a bad
4 is what 2 is if we have to go out to bid.
Yeah. Just see what you're with me. You got it right now. 2 is a change order. 4 is we go out to bid. Why is bid more expensive?
Because
I can't
inflation.
Get a hole in the ground for 6 months while I go mess around, get a contractor arm, do the design, go out to bid. You know, for us to go out to bid, first off, we've got to complete the design.
Have you talked to Anderson about this?
Have I talked to Anderson? Yeah, they're aware that we're trying to figure out what to do with W. I haven't tried to get pricing from them.
So we don't even know if they're open to...
Oh, they're open to it. They want.
Okay.
They want.
All right, so...
Well, I'm saying... If it can be done in the same timing of their project right now,
they're interested.
If it drags out and we bid 6 months from now,
it's a tough deal.
And then they're going to say, we got to reload for it. We got to come reload for it. They're not certain they're doing bid.
Right, because they've already bid projects that are starting a year and a half from now, so yep. they have a work backup load
right.
sitting
there
for
them. They're going somewhere else, right? They're going somewhere else. And then and the reality is then it becomes actually too small project by itself to hold Anderson here. You know, they're
got
a bigger
it.
Contractor. You know.
So our recommendation would be 2. With
a portable.
With a portable on the advice that we can actually do a change order that big.
Basically, I think what we would
yes.
like to see is to use the contractor we have on site. We have a relationship with them. It's a small contract. It's a small change order in relationship to the full price of the project that we're there.
Yes.
It's only 10%, right?
Yes.
But we'd like to only make the modification to 2 to say that we would like to go with a portable instead
yes.
of a permanent okay. structure yeah. that's only going to be good for that particular issue.
Right.
How does everybody feel about that? I know how you feel. It was your proposal, so I know how you feel about it.
I'm good.
how do you feel about that, Anthony?
Is
that
I was going, but I'm good.
That
now.
Make sense to you?
Aaron? And that works for you operationally.
So, Aaron, now put your feet in the fire. You are our wastewater manager. Do you feel that this represents the best interest of the town? Or do you feel this is the best route to go for long-term viability after you and I are long gone here? Because once we get to Miami, we're not coming back. And... He and I are going to Miami.
Okay.
Thanks for the invite.
We're blame. Anyway, excuse me for going off on that tangent. You know, that ADHD stuff is nasty. So what do you think? Give me your opinion, if you'd like to.
I like option 2. Option 2 is a good option. I don't think it's going to hurt us in the long run. But I believe option 1 is the
gives us more time to figure out what our expansions are going to be and how we want to design. I know in the future we're going to want a grid system, and if we incorporate that in the long term, the screens that we currently have at Plant 2 could be moved over into a new influence system at Plant 2, where now you don't have a double up of screens, you have a grid system, and if you have any other larger developments coming in, it would all go there instead of now trying to shoehorn it back into Plant 1 through a screen just to go back over to Plant 2. So but I think both options are very good. I'm just in favor of option 1 so we can
but
be
that
planning for future growth or anything like that.
Okay, it's a good point of view. The only thing I would have to say, it's a great point. You know, we want to build something and then make it become obsolete just because of growth, and when another developer is going to have to pay for something different. So we've already paid for something a developer is going to have to come in and pay for. I get that. What the problem is in the time, the amount of degradation that it would occur and the amount of time it's going to take for anything to happen on that other piece of land
right.
may be too long. That's the downside to your proposal.
I'm not banking on it.
You're right.
But
would that bar system or that what are we calling it?
Screen
system, would that become obsolete with that's a tough call to make, man. That's a really tough call to make because
it doesn't become obsolete because you still have flow.
Here's the way I look at it, Aaron.
Well, you could pick the screen.
I say for $400,000,
right?
For $400,000, put it in now and.
You're saving on pump maintenance
over the long. Over that period of time, the 8 to 10 years it's going to take before we possibly have an option to have somebody possibly pay for an improvement to our system. We've been through so much in the last 20 years with regards to the economy, that thing could stop in a heartbeat. So I think that I'm taking into consideration what you have to say. I just think that I don't think we can kick that can down the road.
Okay. And I'm okay with that.
But I appreciate your point of view. Thank you for bringing that up because that's bringing up, hey, maybe we should save some money right now, but I...
So with option one, there's...
Greg, what input on that?
Yeah, the real question is, if Pantages was coming here, and you knew they were going to be here in 3 or 4 years...
Chikini.
And you knew hands down that they were coming in, and you're going to tag them for $30 million in improvements, we would consider a lot of different things over at Plan 2.
It's 10 years before we get any money from them.
This is
minimum.
Before
right?
in town, it is true we
10 years,
we
easy.
Build something waiting for others to
how
come
long
along
it took the pages.
And then that drags out forever.
Yeah. I appreciate the concern for the finances and our constituents, and that's really what we're trying to be fiscally responsible here. But the reality of it is Pantages was probably 18 years in the making.
Yes.
And Chikini is 20 times that big, and it's going to be 15 years minimum in the making before we see. And by that time, there's going to be an expansion of Plant 2 that's going to increase the size of Plant 2 by at least 50% to incorporate the new situation, because there's going to be commercial property there and everything else. So I don't think we can wait for that. And continue to beat up the system at this point. That's my opinion.
The inflow pump station is taking more damage than we thought it would.
Which is why it's imperative to get UW up and working so we can get in there and maintain it.
So
I don't think there's any. I think it's a no-brainer.
Okay. The pumps that are in there now are completely different than the ones that were in there before, and the ones that were in there before were constantly breaking down, and we were constantly flooding these pumps.
Okay, so now I need to ask you one last question, and then we're going to move on to, because I appreciate your input here, and that is, how professional is your ballpark? Is it Little League? Is it Peanut League? Or is it actually professional baseball? Because you're giving us ballpark prices here, and what league are you playing in? You playing in the minors? Or you playing in the majors with your ballpark pricing?
I think this is a good price.
Okay. I would think that this isn't going to the board.
Not yet. We're going to get quotes from Andrew.
Okay. So what I'd like to see,
if it's
okay,
legal.
Yeah, we have to do some more research on this. I'd like to look into option two with a portable, rig, crane, and then bring it back to the committee after the research has been done and we have a little more solid pricing so we can make a solid recommendation. But that's where I'd like you to spend your time. Okay. On option two with a portable crane. If Ashley agrees.
Yeah. And we need to make sure that we do the change order.
Yes.
Going to be part of the research. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying when I say bring it back.
And then we'll get the red quote from Anderson.
Right.
So what I can do then is get a formal quote from the screen. I can talk informally to Anderson about pricing, but without a full design, they won't be able to get a firm price.
So without what?
Without a complete design, they won't.
How much does design cost?
$115,000 for engineering.
Well,
that's
look. It has to be designed. It's not. That's
right.
We just have to put a little money up front. So
then do you? $100,000 Designs $100,000
for just engineering.
Okay. So my understanding is this: the first thing that's going to happen is we're gonna make sure that we're moving down a road that we legally can move down. That's the very first step.
That's correct.
Once we find out that, then you guys are going to bring back a proposal for the design costs of it, around $115,000 or $120,000, whatever it is. And then you're going to approve that, and you're going to start the design process. In the meantime, we're going to get bids on completing the project. Or you're going to have to actually do the design first. And then we're going to start getting to see if Anderson's going to be willing to get involved. How long would it take you to design something like this?
This is 3 months at least.
Sorry, we only pay $10,000 a month. That's $30,000, not $100,000. No, I'm just kidding.
He didn't even really laugh.
So back to your question, which is the other thing we hear is, we didn't want to start off designing stuff and spending money on engineering until we kind of got some consensus around what is it we want to do. It is possible for me to do two things. We can have unit check with the legality of the statement option.
That's the first step.
It's possible for me to get a firm quote on the screen. Right now I have a budget cost on the screen. And it's possible for me to just review some hand sketches with Anderson and try and get, am I ballparking this reasonably or not with them without doing a full-blown design.
Right.
Okay. We can bring that back to you before we proceed off on let's go design it and do all this. Now, again, the prices won't be firm, but I'll say there'll be more refined pricing than what you have in front of you.
No, but in essence,
and we can do research on the truck.
This is a small project. I mean, I know you have to engineer it. You have to come back and say, I need an 8-inch wall here and a 12-inch base there and all this other. I mean, I'm making this stuff up, obviously, right? But it's still, from Anderson's perspective, it's whether it's 8 or 10 inches. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but you know what I mean? It's the amount of work that's in, the amount of work that's involved is the amount of work that's involved. Hey, we already got shoring sitting over in the lot over there.
I know. All right. So what I'm saying is we can do research on legality. They can do research on a truck. I can get a price on a screen, and I can get over some...
How soon do you think all that can be done?
I can do that by next month, by next meeting.
All right.
Okay, great.
How's that sound?
We'll bring it to the
Dina,
next
you're on board
meeting.
With that? Ashley, you good with that?
And then
you guys, we're good?
We'll have a little bit better numbers.
Julie, how do you feel about that? Go ahead, Greg. Sorry.
We'll have a little better numbers for you to have a little more confidence in the budgets you guys are approving. It won't be fixed, but it'll be closer.
Yeah. Try to make... I'm just not looking at a whole lot of options here. no matter what the price is, to be honest with you. You know, so just...
All right, so what we're going to do...
Now, the question is, where does this money come from?
You're gonna, so we're going to work with Julie. We're
okay.
Gonna look at
you're going to have that answered. You're going to have that answered for us by the next meeting also, right?
Yep.
We should put it on the finance agenda
okay.
for next month because we're finance next month.
And that meeting happens prior to the Water Wastewater Committee meeting. I know it starts at 4:30 next
no,
month.
No, we're not doing it next month. We're going to do it for the next board meeting.
Whoa.
So
did you say
next he said he could do it in a week.
I was going to come back to the next wastewater committee meeting.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, okay. I heard that too. I heard that too.
We'll talk about finance money. This let's start with.
Okay.
That way everybody has time to do their business.
Well, but in the meantime, Julie, you can be working on how we're going to finance this for the finance committee. But that's not necessarily stopping anything. Right. I mean, they're kind of independent programs.
Yeah.
So please do that so the finance committee has something to consider on this too. Greg, thank you very much. You've been great explanations, great questions, great input. Anything else on that project?
Nope. So no action the board tonight on that project.
No, that board's that got to come back to us first. And then item F3, do we have somebody online for that?
We do not. So
is that item not going
to?
Is that
going to
be pulled?
No,
oh, you're going
to
do it.
No, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So it's not really anything for approval. It's just an informational what I wanted you to know what we're working on. So I met with LSCE, and they introduced me to a gentleman named Jacques. Jacques does a lot of stuff with looking for funding for organizations for water and wastewater infrastructure. He didn't used to work for LSCE. They pulled him under their company, and so I would like to contract with them. They're going to help us look for grants. They're going to help us look for different funding opportunities for all of our water and wastewater projects.
Okay.
So
this is a whole new issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is this? That's old. That's from last meeting. Okay.
Yeah. So they gave me a
That was the old water.
Yeah.
That was talking about what our salt was, is what that was. And I went, oh, is that what, I thought that's what LC,
oh.
I thought that's what they were here for.
No.
Okay.
So they gave us a proposal. It's about $15,000. And so I think it would be really smart for us to start working with them and see what things they can find. They explained to me some other things that they did for other organizations. They found them a lot of funding for infrastructure replacement, repair, putting in new infrastructure.
Is this a presentation that you feel would be beneficial to just bring in front of the entire board prior to bringing, I mean, is it necessary to bring it to the committee first before you bring it to the board?
Or is I wasn't
it better
going to bring it to the board.
Huh?
I wasn't going to bring it to the board.
Okay, that's fine.
I was actually just going to tell you some things that we're working on.
Okay,
and this
okay.
Is,
but,
we're looking for different funding opportunities. When they find
But are you asking for money yet?
I don't have to. It's $15,000. It's under my signing authority.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I guess we should go ahead and agree with you on that. Before we...
But I mean, the overall benefit to that. So $15,000,
right.
Like what are some of the fundings that he's done?
Pipeline replacements.
So cost-wise, like... Are we talking millions of dollars? Are we talking hundreds of thousands of dollars?
And here's the deal. Anything that has to do with water right now, there are grants available for. And if you're creative in how you write the grant, you are going to get free state money because they want you to save water.
Yeah. They say state grants are a little bit easier to get than federal grants. Federal grants, thousands and thousands of people are trying to get federal grants.
But you have to know how to work the grant system. I think that...
Yes.
I think $15,000 won't.
Yeah, and so this guy, he's done a lot of things with other districts and cities.
How did this come about? Did they approach you and say, hey, we brought this guy on board?
These are some things that we saw some, you know, actually another director always mentions grants and federal funding.
Yes,
things
she
like
does.
That. So we found three or four different federal funding grants. I kind of just sent them out to the water group, the wastewater group. And then Jason kind of said, hey, I got this gentleman that now works with LSCE. These are some of the things that they can do. They can do both water and wastewater.
But they want money up front to help.
Correct.
Okay. So.
Will they write them too and apply for them?
They will do.
How much does
$15,000 cover that?
Yes.
How much does that $15,000 get us?
That $15,000 helps us prioritize our CIP projects. to update costs and estimates, prepare technical memorandums, and then they will eventually help us do the grant.
But that $15,000 does not include any grant writing.
It does not include the grant writing.
It includes the prep for the grant writing.
Correct. Which is the
to see where we're eligible.
Yes.
Where we're going to go.
Correct.
And then you invest. Then would we invest more money with the same guy to write the grant?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine with me as long as he signs that guarantee that says he's getting the grant when he writes it. I'm good.
If he can do it, I mean, yeah. I'd say
so. It's prime time to do it. There's no question about that. We shouldn't be in. These type of grants are not based on per capita earnings or other kind of things that we've had some of the issues with Park and Rec and some other things like that. Anything else on the agenda? Did I shut down too early?
Nope, that's it.
Any future agenda items that you have up front right now, Ashley?
Nope.
Okay, let's go ahead and turn it in. Thank you.